Turn over to 139, and this Christmas song goes right along with the theme of the lesson this afternoon as we finish up this little brief series about the Magi's gifts. 139 in your blue book is Born to Die. Great Christmas song. Let's sing it together tonight. On the first, ready? On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place fell a shadow cold and gray of the cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was broken that I might live. Let's sing the second now. Jesus knew when He came, He would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but He left paradise with His blood. He paid the price, my redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin. Upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. Thank you. If you have your Bible, Matthew chapter 2, and we will once again read the text that we read from on this past Sunday morning. That song goes perfect with what the theme of this third gift is, as the wise men came to present their gifts to the Lord Jesus. And we're reading now in verse number 9 of Matthew chapter 2. Okay, when they had heard the king, they departed. Of course, they'd come into Jerusalem looking for the king of the Jews. Where, what better to place, better place to find the king than in the capital city? And, of course, Herod and his diabolical plan to have the Lord Jesus killed. But anyway, when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. One of the misconceptions about the wise men is that they followed the star all the way from the east to Jerusalem. That's not true. They saw the star in the east, but then they came to Jerusalem by faith. And when they got there, walked out of Herod's palace, they saw the star again, which led them over to Bethlehem, where the Lord was. Okay, now look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Just a simple lesson and very brief on the third part of the Magi's gifts. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this opportunity. I appreciate these folks who have taken a little time on Christmas Day to come together, and it's been good to sing these songs, be reminded of the real reason of Christmas. I'm sure that gifts have already been exchanged today, and that's always fun and enjoyable. But Lord, there would be none of that had this story of your birth not taken place. And so we're grateful for you and for coming to the earth. And help me now to say a few things that'll remind us of why you came. In Jesus' name I pray it, Lord. And amen. So the wise men, they come to the house where the young family was staying. As I said on Sunday morning, another kind of misconception about Christmas is that the wise men came to the manger. They did not. Jesus now was anywhere from maybe 15 to 18 months of age. The Bible says he's a young child and they're in a house. So evidently after the Lord was born there and laid in the manger, Joseph found a place for the young family to stay. And here came the wise men. And the Bible says they came bearing gifts. Now, their intent was to worship him. You see that back in verse number 2 when they went in front of Herod. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So the very reason that they came was to worship this newborn king, okay? And when they found the place where he was, the house there, the Bible says in verse number 11 that they worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts. And here are the three gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now again, said Sunday morning and probably Sunday night as well, that this was not last minute Christmas shopping, just buying or taking a gift for a gift's sake. I don't know, men, if your wives are that way. My wife feels like anytime we go anywhere to anybody's place that she has to take something. There has to be something that she takes as a little gift. And but this wasn't just taking a gift for a gift's sake. This wasn't last minute. Ian was sick. I mean, he's just sick. He's just got a bad cold. And Jason and I went down to the Walgreens at Meadowview last night. Just about 6:30 or so. I'm glad they were open. Had a prescription filled. And I couldn't believe the number of folks in Walgreens just snatching stuff off the shelves, you know. And I thought to myself, really, that's sad. There's no thought to that. There's no thinking through anything. It was just, hey, we got to have a gift. Let's just grab something. It really grieved my heart. It made me sad. I don't think I've ever been in a store on Christmas Eve. I don't know how long since I was working at the grocery store. And so I just haven't had the need to be in a store on Christmas Eve. And here the aisles were full of people just grabbing stuff. But that's not what happened with these wise men. They just didn't decide, well, let's throw some gold in our pouch and some frankincense and some myrrh. No, it was the result. These gifts were the result of careful study of the Old Testament scriptures about who this little child was, who this little child really was, and what he was going to do, what he was going to be in his life. And it was an expression of their faith in the scriptures. That's really what it was. They had faith in what the Old Testament scriptures taught. And then add to the fact, diligent Old Testament Bible study and then faith. And then add to that a sincere heart to really worship this child for who he was. They realized he wasn't just a little ordinary baby. No man would have fallen down at the feet of an ordinary baby and worshiped. They, by faith, realized who he was and desired to show him homage and pay him homage. And so they did. And they brought these gifts. And we talked about gold on Sunday morning. And they brought gold because gold was fit for a king. And Jesus was a king, born to be king. And he will be king someday. And he will come back and sit and rule and reign on the throne of his father David. We talked about that. And we recognize and realize Jesus' kingship by giving him rule over our lives. Giving him rule over our lives. I would probably guess that many of you were not in the service on Sunday morning. Even some of you who were on the property Sunday morning were in other places. And I gave a little illustration that I read over a week ago about Admiral Horatio Nelson. And he was a British admiral in the Royal Navy, and a very successful one. And he had a reputation for being a kind and considerate, compassionate, conquering admiral over a defeated foe. And in one particular case, when his ship had defeated the ship of an enemy and it pulled alongside for the customary surrender of the defeated admiral, this admiral got on board Nelson's ship and went across the deck and up on the quarter deck where Nelson was standing. And he knew Nelson's reputation had preceded him, and this defeated admiral wanted to take advantage of the man's reputation for kindness to a defeated foe. And so he went across the quarter deck with his hand outstretched as if, you know, I'm coming to shake your hand. And when he got close enough to Horatio Nelson, Admiral Nelson, Admiral Nelson just stood very still with his arms beside his side like this. And the defeated admiral stopped, and Nelson said, your sword first, sir, and then your hand. In other words, I'm a kind man, and I'm a considerate man, but you're going to surrender to me first, because I'm the victor. I've won. And, you know, the point I made about that was, you know, Jesus, you say, well, I thought Jesus was to, is our friend. And we sing the song, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. And Patch the Pirate sings that song, My Very Best Friend. And I thought we're on a friendship basis with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are. But before we move into a friendship basis with the Lord Jesus Christ, I think there has to be a surrender, a total surrender. And a lot of Christian people are still bearing their swords. They haven't surrendered, haven't turned over their life to the kingship of Jesus Christ. I think about John 15, where Jesus said to his disciples, men who had walked with him for 3.5 years, henceforth I'll no more call you servants. Now I'm going to call you friends. This thing's a progression, but it doesn't have to be years and years and years of time, folks. It all is dependent on how quickly you and I surrender our lives to His kingship. So they brought gold to Jesus because He's a king. And you and I can bring gold to Jesus by recognizing and realizing His kingship in our lives. And they brought frankincense. We talked about this on Sunday night. They brought frankincense because Jesus was God. And that's what frankincense was used for. It was used for the worship of God. And it was a powder. It was made out of 4 equal parts spices, okay? This powder that they put on the golden altar in the tabernacle, the altar of incense. They took a 1/4 of stachdi and a 1/4 of onycha and a 1/4 of galbanum and a 1/4 of frankincense. Equal parts, 4 equal parts. And they mixed it together and ground it to a very fine powder. And they'd taken some coals off the brazen altar in the courtyard and brought it into the golden incense altar inside the tabernacle. So they got these hot coals. And then they would take that powder and put it on there. And that powder would begin to burn. And it would send forth a very sweet aroma that was part of the frankincense, caused that aroma. And it was placed right in front of the veil. And right beyond the veil was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat where the presence of God was. And when that priest was putting the powder on the altar of incense and it was burning, and he was so close to the presence of God. And here's the lesson for you and me. Frankincense was used in the worship of God. And you know, I think every now and again, it's good for us to add a little frankincense to our prayer life. That's worship. See, you know, a lot of times our prayer is asking, God, I need this, and God, help this one who's sick, and God, I need, and nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. God tells us to ask, doesn't He? And sometimes, and you have not because you ask not. And if any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So He says ask. So we're told to ask, but we get in a habit, get in a rut, ask. Nothing wrong with that, but at some point in time we have to stop and throw a little frankincense in our prayer and worship God and tell Him how wonderful He is. And how great He is, and how precious He is, and how much we love Him, and how powerful He is. And that's adding a little bit of worship in your prayer life, and that's bringing frankincense to the Lord Jesus. So they brought Him gold, and they brought Him frankincense. And then the last gift to look at briefly this afternoon for just a moment is this gift of myrrh. Now, myrrh was the oil that came from a certain type tree, and it gave off, like frankincense, it gave off a beautiful aroma. You'll read about myrrh in the book of Esther. Remember when they sought for the fair young virgins to come and stand before the king and get a new queen? And the Bible says that Esther prepared herself with myrrh for 6 months. She bathed herself with myrrh for 6 months before she went in before the king. It was a perfume. Song of Solomon uses the word myrrh more than any other book in the Bible. Again, a perfume. And of course, the Song of Solomon would be the love between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. And so the Song of Solomon speaks of myrrh. And then myrrh was also used to anoint the bodies of folks who had passed away. And so the bringing of myrrh by the wise man to the Lord Jesus was a recognition of Jesus' humanity. The frankincense was recognition of His deity. The myrrh was recognition of His humanity. And the primary reason for Jesus' humanity was so that He could die for our sins. Myrrh was the gift that recognized Jesus as the suffering Savior. Gold was the gift that recognized Him as the King. Frankincense was the gift that recognized Him as God. Myrrh was the gift that recognized Him as the Savior. Now think about it, friend. When Jesus was on the earth for those 33 and a half years, 30 of them were spent pretty much in obscurity. Just as a boy, as a teenage young man, and then as an apprentice working with his guardian, Joseph, his earthly guardian, Joseph. And then He began that public ministry for about 3.5 years. And during that 3.5 year period, Jesus used His body for many good purposes while He was here on earth. He fed hungry people. He made sick people well. He caused blind people to see. He made the deaf to hear. And He made the lame to walk. I think of all that He taught. I think of all the messages He preached. I think about the fact that He modeled biblical principles for everybody to hear and to see. He even raised the dead. All of that in the body of a human. Boy, He went about doing good, didn't He? And that's what the book of Acts said. Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. But wait a minute. None of those things were the primary purpose for that humanity. The primary purpose for that humanity was so that He could bear in His own body our sins on the cross. Myrrh was symbolic of His sacrifice. Truth of the matter is, there are only 3 times in the New Testament where the word myrrh is used. First time is right here in Matthew chapter 2, when they brought the gift to the Lord Jesus. The second time is over in Mark chapter 15, verse 23. And they gave Him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but He received it not. I think you know what that's talking about. When He's hanging on the cross, and the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, dipped the sponge into the vinegar, and they probably had some myrrh in there and some juice, and they brought it over to Jesus. And they used to take myrrh and mix it with wine, and it acted like an anesthetic to make a person a little insensible. Maybe it took a little bit of the, maybe a little bit like laughing gas at the dentist office if you've ever had the mask on. I remember when they took my wisdom teeth out and they put that mask on my face. And when I woke up, I was blah, 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 just blabbing away and everything, just a little bit out of my head. And that's what they did with myrrh back in those days. They put it with wine and it acted like an anesthetic. Remember what Jesus did? He refused to take it. They put it to His lips and He just refused to take it, spit it out. And I'm not sure of all the reasons for that, but I would like to, I really believe that one of the reasons He didn't take that myrrh was that He didn't want any anesthetic. He wanted to feel every drop, every bit of pain there was to feel in a human body as He became the sacrifice for our sin. That's the second time it's used. In John 19:39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. That's John 3, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. This is after Jesus has already given up the ghost, and His body is hanging on that cross lifeless now. Remember, the Roman soldiers came by and broke the legs of the thieves, but Jesus was already dead. And they ran the spear up in His side, and then they went and they said, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went and said, can we have the body of Jesus? And the chief priests were anxious to get the body off the cross because the sundown was coming, the Sabbath, and they needed to get it off the cross. And so there's Nicodemus and there's Joseph of Arimathea, secret disciples, if you will, who came through at the right time. And they got the body of Jesus and they asked if they could prepare it properly for burial. And they brought myrrh, because myrrh was a sweet-smelling oil. And it was used to perfume the body of the deceased. It wasn't for the deceased's sake. They were already gone. It was for the sake of the loved ones, those left behind. Maybe trying to take a little bit of the sting out of the death. Just a little bit of the sting of losing a loved one. And there's a body and it's been prepared and there's a perfumic smell. And that's the smell of the myrrh. Now listen, we bring Him myrrh by remembering His sacrifice for us. His sacrifice for us. You know, I think as Americans, as you look back in our history, the liberty that we enjoy and what's left of it, and the freedoms that we enjoy, what's left of them, that came at great cost. People who had to sacrifice for you and I to have freedom to live today. And you know, Christmas has taken a hit, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Years gone by, you wouldn't find a retailer who wouldn't think of saying Merry Christmas. And is still today, in this year, still, I heard Happy Holidays far more than I wanted to. And I always responded by saying Merry Christmas, don't you? Always. But anyway, I still think as Americans, we've got a lot of freedom and a lot of liberty that other Americans have sacrificed so that you and I could enjoy these freedoms and liberties. But friend, no one has made the sacrifice that Jesus made when he came to die. And the sacrifice he made, now listen, the sacrifice that he made for us, his dying on that cross, is really the myrrh for you and me, if we think about it. We have said goodbye to some dear people in our church family this year. And again, I have witnessed that last enemy wage war on people. You know who the last enemy is, don't you? Paul identified the last enemy as death. And I've seen that last enemy wage war on our people and on the people that loved them. And I'm going to tell you, it is an enemy. It's an enemy. It's an enemy to the person whose body it is fighting. And it is an enemy to those who loved that person. When that person draws their last breath, it seems that death has won. We even say, they died. She died. But the truth is, for a child of God, when that last breath is drawn, the enemy is defeated. Death loses the battle, and life eternal in heaven begins, and never, ever, ever, ever will death even be a threat to that person ever again. Ever again. Now, for those who love the person and are left behind here, it's tough. But you know what we need to do? We need to add myrrh to the occasion. What's myrrh? Myrrh is a sweet-smelling savor. And the sweet smell is this. You know, we sorrow. Oh, believe me, we sorrow. And that's good, and that's right to sorrow. But we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Because even death for a child of God has a sweet savor to it because he died. Because he died. They brought myrrh to anoint his body. And I love what the Bible says. The Bible says that death isn't just barely defeated. Death, the victory is not won by the skin of its teeth. The Bible says that death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, for the child of God, oh my goodness, for the child of God, death, that last enemy, is not just defeated, it's trounced. Kind of like the Bears this past Sunday night. Trounced. Wasn't that terrible? In fact, I think for the child of God, death takes a bigger beating than they took last Sunday night. And that's the truth. It's all because he died. And that's what myrrh was brought for, to recognize the fact that this little child was really not born to live. This little child was born to die. We bring in gold because he is a king. Recognize and realize his kingship. That's something you and I can practice every day of our life. We bring in frankincense because he is God. Render him praise. Throw a little praise in with your request. And then we bring in myrrh because he is Savior. And we remember his sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary for us, that he was born to die. Now listen, recognize him in all three ways in your life. Because that's what wise men do. They recognize his kingship, his deity, and his humanity. What a Savior. And probably not born on December 25th, but this is the day that we celebrate the greatest birthday that has ever been. Let's stand together. And Mick's going to come. Brother Hall's going to come and lead us in all four verses of Silent Night, Holy Night. Find the blue songbook, and we'll sing all four of these great verses. And I tell you what, let's sing the last couple of verses a cappella, okay? Let's sing the first two with the instruments, then we'll sing the last two a cappella.
All right, page 144. 144.
Silent night.
Father, we are thankful again for this special day and for the opportunity to meet for these just 50-something minutes this afternoon. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of your love wrapped up in that little baby born on a cold day over there in the Middle East. And someday, hopefully not the too far future, we look forward to that rapture and then the wonderful revelation. And we close our prayer as the apostle did, as he closed out the canon of Scripture, even so come, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen.